I bless you as you give. This morning I'm launching into the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we are on part 12, and I haven't quite figured out how many parts there's going to be, but that's just to help you know if you've missed a part, maybe you can go back and catch up. But we're going to be talking about love, joy, and peace today. As we launch into it, and for the next few weeks, actually for 3 weeks, you need to remember that just like we need the Holy Spirit to help us in our weaknesses, with our struggles, and to conquer sin in our life, we also need the Holy Spirit to produce His fruit in us, that good and that life-changing fruit. And I hope that you understand that what we're talking about is not fruit that you produce or that I produce. It is bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It comes from Him and that relationship with Him. God's desire is that the Holy Spirit would be released and activated in these fruits in our lives so we can bring glory to the name of Jesus. Now, I'm sure most of you in this room know that every species of tree, you know, out there has characteristics that make it identifiable for what kind of tree it is. For instance, walnut trees, there's a walnut. Walnut trees are easily identifiable, especially when walnuts are all under the ground underneath it, right? You know, that's a walnut tree. Apple trees do what? Produce apples. Orange trees produce oranges. Now, Jesus told His disciples that just as trees have distinguishing characteristics, so do people. And in Matthew 7, Jesus is talking about some bad fruit, some false prophets that He was dealing with. And I want you to hear what He says in Matthew 7, 17 to 20. A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. And a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. I'll let you chew on that one. But verse 20, yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Jesus said the fruit our lives bear, whether good or bad, is an indicator of what kind of person we are. Church, the way we live our lives shows whether we are controlled by the sinful nature or whether we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, last week I looked at some characteristics of a life that follows the sinful nature. Back in verses 19 through 21 of Galatians 5. In that list, Paul gives all sorts of things that are red flags in our lives. They should not continue in the life of a believer as they grow in Christ. But in our passage this morning, I want to turn our attention to another list. One that serves in stark contrast to what the flesh desires. In fact, this list shows us characteristics of a life lived according to the Holy Spirit rather than the sinful flesh. Here's the list, Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. Lord Jesus, once again, may the fruit of the Spirit become more evident in our lives as we continue to follow You day by day. And Father, would You help us become healthy people who produce good fruit in Jesus' name. And if you're in agreement, would you say amen? All right, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be working our way through the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to do it in groups of three. There's 9 fruits. We're going to do 3 a week. So this morning, let's look at the first three, love, joy, and peace. The first characteristic of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. And by the way, I will fly through this. And reason being, because you're going to have to keep working on it. I could take an entire week on just love. Probably could take a whole month on it. So you need to listen. But remember, as I said last week, the Holy Spirit works on our lives, not with all nine at one time. So you begin to listen to where he's working on your life, okay? Love. Now, our society talks a lot about love. Anybody noticed? Yeah, but the love that Paul is talking about here is so much different than the definition of love that's commonly used in our world. The world tells us that love has to do with how we feel toward a person. It says we can fall in love and we can fall out of love. And by the worldly definition of love, really has a lot to do with how we feel about a person at the moment. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And how we feel about that person, a lot of the time, has to do with what we can get from that person. We tend to really love people who give us what we want, right? Stuff like affection, laughter, gifts, influence, or whatever it might be. And like it or not, we find it really hard to love people when there's nothing in it for us, right? But the biblical understanding of love, however, is so much different than the worldly perspective. In the Greek language in which the New Testament is written in, there are four words for the Greek word love, or our English word love. Here they are. Eros is one, which is used to describe romantic or erotic love. Storge refers to family love, especially the love of a parent and a child. Philia was used to describe close friendship. Philadelphia, you understand. We call it brotherly love sometimes. A fourth type of love is agape. Agape love is a love that's unconditional. Now listen to me for a moment. That seems to be kind of the best way we can put it in our words. And I want to be clear. The Greek word agape is not necessarily God love. It's a Greek word trying to capture something greater than all these other types of love that we have. Agape kind of describes an unrestricted and total love for a person regardless of who they are, what they do, or what you can get from them. In fact, it's interesting as you look at the old ancient Greek texts, the word agape is rarely used, but it's frequently used in the Bible. And that is because it's that kind of love it's trying to describe that's so immeasurably different from the love of this world. Now, when we talk about love, though, as a part of the fruit of the Spirit, I really think there's two parts to it. The first is love for God. You know, Jesus teaches us, love God. And the second part is what? Loving others. But the two are linked together. The person who lives according to the Spirit has a love for God that recognizes him for who he is. It comes from recognizing God as creator and God as sustainer. And the more we come to know God, the more we grow to love God. But if we really love him, it will affect the way we live and how we treat others. Love for God will lead us into more and more obedience as we follow him. Listen to 1 John 4, 19 and 20. We love each other. Isn't that good? But why? Because he loved us first. Listen to, as it goes on in verse 20. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? Y'all are like, I thought this was going to be about love. It is. And let me tell you, when we get to the end and you really begin to activate it, it will lighten your heart. See, what John is saying is this. It is impossible for us to have a genuine love for God and then for us not to love people around us. A genuine love for God results in a genuine love for others. It just happens. Why? Because God loves people just like He loves you. He loves me. And so what should we do? Love people just like God does. It sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? It is easy to say we should love everyone. That sounds good and biblical, right? But when you really think about it, most of us understand how hard that really is to do. And that's because there's a lot of people we don't feel loving towards. Are y'all there? I mean, really, are you getting this? I mean, so listen, so if that's true, then that's why we need the Holy Spirit to begin to produce this kind of love in us and through us. Amen? And that'll become the difference between this worldly love and this God's love that we need. Listen to what Jesus again tells his disciples in Matthew 5. But I say, he was talking about the law says this. But he said, I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, listen to what happens. You'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives sunlight to both the evil and the good. Do y'all think that's fair? You know, your neighbor gets the same rain you do. But it's interesting. God is not playing favorites. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. But listen to 46. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. Church, this world loves those who love them back. But biblically, godly love is different because it's a love that's unselfish. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul talks about what real love looks like and how it acts itself out in our life. And if you think about it in 1 Corinthians, you'll begin to realize he's telling us this true love is genuine and it's concerned about other people. Because true love is unselfish. And if we can learn this, here's what will happen. First, we will be patient because we understand that no one is perfect. And we want to give people the benefit of the doubt. We will be kind because we see value in other people and we should want to treat them in a way that shows them how important they are. We will not envy or be jealous, and that's because we want other people to have the best. We will not boast about our accomplishments because we want to hear about other people and their lives. We will not be proud because we want to build others up rather than ourselves. We will not be rude because we do not want to hurt someone else's feelings. We will not be self-seeking because we want to meet other people's needs. We will not be easily angered because we want to extend grace just like we've been given grace. We will keep no record of wrongs because we want to help others move forward rather than continuing to beat them up because of their past mistakes. And then Paul goes on in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 13. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Always trusts. Always hopes. Always perseveres. Love never fails. But this kind of love is foreign to our world. And it does not come naturally to us. That's why we need the Holy Spirit, the supernatural working in us. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, it is possible for us to walk in this kind of love if we'll begin to focus on the incredible love that God had for us. That love can begin to flow through us as the Holy Spirit begins to change our hearts and we begin to be led by the Spirit of God, walking with the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit, we keep walking. That's why that's so important. Keep in step with the Spirit. And in doing that, we'll begin to love everyone like we've been called to because we're bearing the fruit of love. Now, I'm not saying this is going to be easy. But the Holy Spirit can produce this through us if we'll let Him. Amen? So this morning I have one definition of love for you. It's found at the end of 1 John 4:8. In fact, I want you to hear the whole verse because it's important, but go read the entire book of 1 John. You need to read it. In fact, you need to read the Bible. It's really good for you. And it'll help you understand this kind of love better. But listen to just 1 John 4:8. Ready? Whoever, say these three words with me. Okay, let's pause for a moment. So if you're not loving the way this is supposed to be happening, right? Then what? Does not know God. Because here's the definition. God is love. So if you're not loving, you don't even know God. Because God is love. So you want to know more about love? Get to know God. Let the Holy Spirit of God begin to bear that fruit out of your life. Amen? A second characteristic of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is this joy. Now, when we think about being joyful, our minds typically gravitate toward happy and laughing and having a good time. I'm full of joy. But biblical joy is deeper than just feeling happiness. Because happiness is fleeting and it depends on the circumstance. But the joy that Paul is talking about here is rooted deeper into our lives and it is lasting. And that's because it's not dependent on the changing circumstances of life. Once again, you need to know true joy comes from knowing God. It comes from knowing that He's the King of the universe. He loves us. He cares for us. It comes from the assurance that no matter what happens, we know God is in control. All of that lets us know I can rejoice and I can live life full of joy. Did you know the Bible is consistent in its teachings that Christians should be joyful regardless of the circumstance? At the end of Philippians, Paul tells us in 4:4, always, are y'all getting any of these always? I mean, like sometimes, maybe, might, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. You know the verse, rejoice in the Lord. Always, and again I say it, rejoice. And Paul is writing this when he's in prison. Whoa! I got to tell him, listen, God was so good to me in this place today. I want to go read it. Because he's telling him, he's about to send this letter through Epaphroditus. And let me tell you what's going on in Caesar's house. Let me tell you what God is doing. Let me tell you why he put me here. He's full of joy. And you live that way. Listen to what James tells us. He says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles, anybody got any of that? When troubles of what? Any kind come your way. Consider it an opportunity for what? Wow. See, the circumstances pull us to joy, not take us away from it. Joy comes from our confidence in God Almighty. He's in control of it. Joy comes from our resting in God, trusting in Him, and knowing that He's taking care of things that are outside of our control. It means that we can live life to the fullest no matter what happens. You can live life with enjoyment, delight, and enthusiasm. I want you to take a moment. How many of you have ever seen Finding Nemo? I need you to watch a quick clip. Ready? Here it is.
Hey, Mr. Grumpy Gills. When life gets you down, you know what you gotta do?
I don't wanna know what you gotta do.
Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. What do? We swim.
Dory, no singing.
Dory. I love to swim in.
Dory.
When you want to swim, you want
to. See, I'm gonna get stuck now with that song now it's in my head.
Sorry.
I don't know if you heard what Dory said. She said, when life gets you down, you know what you gotta do. Just keep swimming. And church, somehow you've got to get the song of joy stuck in your head. Just keep rejoicing, and I say it again, rejoice. Now, that doesn't mean we will not be sad at times, okay? And it doesn't mean you have to pretend that everything's all right when it's not. But what it does mean is that we put our confidence in God, knowing and trusting that Romans 8:28 is completely true. And we know, and we know, and we know that in what? Is there anything happening here that is repetitive? All things, God works for the good of those who, what? Catch that. Did you see that first fruit, how important it is? Who love him, because it's beginning that relationship, who have been called according to his purpose. It's building the foundation upon God. Church, you have to understand, joy comes with knowing God and knowing he's in control. Proverbs 3:13 says, joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. Church, where do you think wisdom and understanding comes from? Comes from God. Listen to Psalm 5:11. Let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. Listen to this. Spread your protection over them, all who love your name may be filled with what? Yeah. 1 Peter 1:8. You love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you what? You trust him. And you what? Rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. We used to sing, joy unspeakable and full of glory. When we broke in this morning to that, there is power, power, wonder working. Man, y'all came alive. Because all of a sudden, our confidence changes where we are. Romans 15:13, may the God, listen to what Paul prays, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you what? Trust in him so that you'll overflow with hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, church, it's not something that is worked up in our flesh. It's not a joy that comes from the things of this world. Our joy comes through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives and as we get to know him better. Amen? Third characteristic. Here we go. Peace. Wouldn't everybody like to have peace? Most of us, though, tend to think that peace is the absence of conflict. But the biblical definition of peace is much more than that. The kind of peace the Bible is talking about is really all-inclusive. It means we're at peace with God, we're at peace with others, and we're at peace within ourselves. Now, you need to know that peace with God and peace within ourselves, they are closely related. Peace within our hearts is a spiritual byproduct of us submitting to God. Listen to Philippians 4:6-7. Don't worry about anything. That sound a little bit like peace? Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Verse 7, then. I love the thens, and we read the thens a lot because that's what we want to happen in our lives. But can I back up to verse 6? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Do you see where I'm placing my confidence, my trust, my knowing, and thank him for what he's done? Then what happens? Verse 7. Then you will experience God's peace. Do you see the relationship? Do this and then. Have that kind of relationship, putting God there. God, I need this. God, I need you. God, I need you to be throughout my day. God, I'm not going to worry about anything today. Well, and then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds, just so you know, it isn't equal anything. It exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts. And you know what you also need? Where do we need peace most of the time? In our minds. So it doesn't just guard my heart about what's going on. It guards this mind of all the confusion as you live in Christ Jesus. See that relationship? Have you ever noticed, though, that the times when you feel closest to the Lord also are the times that you have the greatest peace? They work hand in hand. The worries of life slip away. You rest in the Lord. Church, the best way for us to have peace within ourselves is to keep our relationship with God healthy. And when you do that, you will find that you have a peace that passes all understanding. Now, that's peace for us. But how do we have peace with others? Well, understand this. Peace with others does not only depend on us, which in many ways makes having peace with others very difficult at times. Anybody ever had that encounter? So, this will require, listen to what it's going to require, us to work on our relationship with people. Hear what Paul tells us in Romans 12:8. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That's a challenging statement. But listen to it carefully, as far as it depends on you. Church, it starts with us doing our part. And sometimes, despite your best efforts, other people may refuse to be at peace with you. But here's the important thing, and I should have put this on the screen. We should never, listen to me carefully, we should never be the reason there is not peace. Did y'all really catch that? We, the people of God, should never be the reason there's not peace. Jesus told us peacemakers would be blessed. Remember that? Matthew 5:9. God blesses those who work for peace, for they'll be called the children of God. Do you see all this relationship stuff happening with God? You'll be recognized as a child of God because you're a peacemaker. And to be an effective peacemaker, you ready for this? How many want to be an effective peacemaker? Then check your ego at the door. The process of making peace requires a lot of humility. It does. And I want us to be more than just peaceful people. We should be peacemakers. Romans 8:6 says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Now, each of these characteristics that we've talked about, love, joy, and peace, they ought to be present in our lives as believers. But church, you have to understand that the fruit of the Spirit requires that the Holy Spirit be working in your life. And it starts right here. It starts when we turn our lives over to Jesus, ask Him to save us, and then we commit to following Him for the rest of our days. If you'll do that, you'll begin to see this kind of fruit growing in your life as the Holy Spirit begins to produce it in you. I'm not closing quite yet, but would you bow your heads for just a moment? If you're in this room and you've never accepted Jesus, why don't you start right now? Because I think everybody in this room would want love, joy, and peace. I know a lot of you probably need peace, but if you've not accepted Jesus, this is where we start. If you're in the room, balcony or main floor, I'm just going to ask you, slip your hand up. We're going to pray together. I will not embarrass you in any way. But I tell you what, I want God to get glory because I want you to know Him. Amen. So if you want to accept Jesus, put Him first in your life, would you just slip your hand up and you put it right back down? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm looking across. Amen. Just one more second. Anybody else? I want to pray for these, and would you just pray aloud with me and make this confession of in your own heart and your own words. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for dying in my place. I ask you to forgive me and make me clean. And I ask that the Holy Spirit would begin to produce fruit out of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. All right, so before I close, I'm going to be a little tough. And so this is not for those who maybe just said, hey, I'm walking, I'm getting into this thing. But I'm going to talk to you who've been in this thing for a long time. Okay? Is that fair enough? We always like to see newcomers, but what about us oldcomers? Well, we need to be overcomers. Okay, are you ready? If you're not seeing the fruit of the Holy Spirit displayed as fully in your life as it should be, I want to tell you this. It is in direct response to your level of maturity in Christ. And I know that may sound a little harsh, but each of us needs to draw closer to God. And as we do so, the Holy Spirit will begin to work deeper, His deeper love, that greater joy, that powerful peace, more and more into our lives. But we have to cultivate that deeper relationship with the Lord. Church, it goes beyond salvation. Just as a marriage has to go beyond a wedding day to become a marriage, we have to go beyond just the day we got saved into a deeper relationship with God our Savior. Paul says this and prays this for the church in Ephesians 1. He says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people." Okay, so I understand you're doing the vertical and you're doing the horizontal, and I'm praying for that ever since I've heard that. He says, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." But verse 17, "I keep asking." I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Oh, I know, I've seen you worship Him, and I've seen you love others. But I'm going to keep praying for you, because I want you to know Him better. I want to see 9 fruits pouring out of your life. I want to see something that looks like what heaven looks like. Worship team, would you come? Church, over time, as we grow deeper in the Lord, our lives will bear more and more fruit of the Spirit. I have one more statement on the screen. Here's the key, though, I think Paul is trying to get us to see. Are you ready for it? Being a Christian is a full-time job. We need to constantly work at submitting our lives. Our faith cannot be something that only matters for a few hours on Sunday. True faith, saving faith, changes the way we live. It sets us apart from the world. It gives you fulfillment that you've been longing for in this life. And church, I am praying for you. I want you to bear this incredible fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm praying you will bear more love, more joy, more peace. Heavenly Father, I ask you over this body of believers that you have let me unite with. I'm calling us up to this level of knowing you more and knowing more of the Spirit life and knowing how these fruits can begin to pour out of us. So we'll look a lot more like the children of God. Lord, I pray it today, but I continue to pray it. And Lord, over these next few weeks, I ask, and I personally give you permission in my life, and I pray every one of you would pray this, but Lord, I give you permission to speak to me where you need to speak to me and grow me. Let me hear what the Spirit is saying to me personally, and then Lord, to us as a church, that we might change and bring you glory. In Jesus' name. And if you're in agreement with that, would you say your own amen to that? So be it. Yeah, amen. I want us to end. I'm going to invite you to stand to listen. Lord, bless our food. Bless our fellowship. Lord, watch over our hearts, our mouths, and our minds. And may we bring you glory. Amen. So the food's blessed. That's all good. So when you go down, if you're a gluten-free person, you need to go to the kitchen side. They've got some help there. If you just want salad, it's there. All that good stuff. Listen, there'll be people on your way down there. They'll point you. They'll help you out. But before we leave, I want us to sing this song. We sang it a little bit earlier. Because I don't want to walk out of here and this be over. We're about to get to practice again. Isn't that so cool? We get to practice this life. But the song says, when you walk into the room, and I'm not talking about just a room that you're in, I'm talking about this room. When you walk into the room, can you put the words up for me? Everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light you bring because it begins to expose the stuff that doesn't look like Him. And I want us to lift this. You just listen to the words and sing the words, but listen to what it speaks to our life and who He is and what He wants to do.